Glory to God. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse 1 through 3. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the Word. Amen. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The writer of the book of Hebrews is telling us here that if you don't keep your focus on Jesus Christ, something will trip you up in this race. I mean, if our life's goal is not to serve Him with all of our heart and not make His life the banner of our existence, there will be some weight and some sin that will beset us. I want to preach to us tonight on lay it down and leave it there. Lay it down and leave it there. Amen. I appreciate you staying, and you may be seated tonight. Over the years of being at youth camp, Brother Hoffman was singing about, do we remember the night that I got saved? This Friday evening will be 18 years. 19 actually. I'm getting older now. 19 years. I forgot I was 31 for a second. That's how you know you're getting old. You don't know how old you are. That I got saved on a Friday night at Southern Ohio Youth Camp. And that night I got born again. I mean, He changed my life. The way that I wanted to live, the way that I was living was radically different from that night on. But since that moment of salvation, I have found moments again where I have struggled. Years of coldness in my spirit, maybe not a whole year, but moments in those teen years especially where my spirit was not as on fire as at one time had been. And I found myself straying and my eye looking towards the things of the world and what had once satisfied me in the church. I was looking for things, especially my freshman year of college. All of my friends had left and went to OBI, and I had wanted to go to OBI, but the Lord had called me to stay home and led me into a different direction. But when you're all alone, you'll find yourself really figuring out where you stand with yourself and the Lord. Brother Jerry, I can remember moments at college where there would be so much temptation drawing my attention away. I'm thankful that the Lord gave me the grace and the Spirit of God gave me the strength to say no and to stand with Him. But I remember that feeling in pool, Brother Kroger, as if everything in my life depended upon that one decision. Who are you going to be? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do with your life? You see, I love the description here that the author has given us about our life being a race. And if we were honest, I think all of us would agree that it feels like that way. We started out in a quick hurry, and then we find ourselves sometimes in the mundane of just that normal run. It feels like there are moments where the end is never going to come. There is no finish line. It's just another turn, just another loop. Just another go around in this thing called life. But we are called to remember some things. And if we'll remember them tonight, it will help us in this race. We're called to remember that others have already made it. We can too. We are reminded that there is a great cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us, those that even right now are enduring afflictions and laying down their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. If you go just a few verses before this chapter, we find that the author has given us a descriptive list of individuals who paid the ultimate price for their walk with Jesus, laying down their life at the hands of those that would take them merely because of their allegiance to Jesus Christ. And we have that context that leads us into this great cloud of witnesses. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, there are people right now in China, in Nepal, in Brazil, in places around the world that will give their life for Jesus Christ, persecuted because of the affiliation of their Savior. But can I tell you, friend, they hold out to the end. There is nothing that stops them, nothing that hinders their walk. There's no temptation that draws them away from their love of Jesus Christ. It's an undying love. It's a love that sustains them. We are reminded that even in this own church that we are sitting in now, there may be somebody sitting in a pew where a saint of God in the past had sat there at one time, had went through a burden, had went through a trial, and they faced temptation, and yet they still made it to the ultimate reward, and that is heaven. Can I tell you, friend, we have a reminder that other folks have gone through hardships, and yet they made it all the way to heaven. We will too. We are reminded that if we keep our focus upon Jesus, He will sustain us. There is nothing in this world, hear me, especially young people, there is no words that can come against you. There is no accusation that can come against you. There is no mockery that can come against you that will ever supersede what Jesus Christ went through for you. You see, many of us are caught in the mindset that if somebody has criticized us, that must be who we are. And yet Jesus was reviled. He was spat on. He was slapped. He was abused. He was taken advantage of. He had done no wrong. And yet they mocked Him and beat Him. My friend, there is nothing that you and I will ever go through that Jesus did not already conquer on Calvary. We must keep our attention upon Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we're reminded that there are things that hinder us. There are things that hinder us. Some people are saying, I know I'm sitting next to him. That's not good. Amen. Listen, I want to tell you something. If we continually believe that other people are the problem, we will never get the help that we need. The writer of the book of Hebrews is telling us here that there are things that we do that hinders our walk. I often think about Sister Brock testifying. And over the years of my teen years, God used her mightily to keep me encouraged and convicted. And those go hand in hand sometimes. She would stand more than one occasion and say, it's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We have created a culture, maybe not necessarily here, but it would not surprise me because of how vast it is in our land today. A culture of it's everyone else but me. The sermon's for somebody else. The message is for somebody else. The Word of God is for somebody else. The song is for somebody else. It's everybody else that is in need of a touch from God. I am the one who is saving this church from going into an abyss away from what the Lord would have us to be. It is a cultural mindset that is sweeping through this nation. But can I tell you, friend, it is still true that you and I are in need of a fresh and a relevant walk with Jesus Christ. And if we are not careful, and if our eyes stray to the left or to the right, we will find ourselves away from where Jesus would have us to be in this last hour. I am not intending to crawl into heaven. I believe that God has enough power in His Spirit to keep a church alive and flourishing so that we march through the gates alive and well through the power of Jesus Christ. But if you have to crawl, keep crawling. If you have to stumble and get back up again, get back up again. Because the reality is there is nothing in this world worth dying for and not making it into heaven. My friend, that is the ultimate goal and the ultimate prize. No matter the day or hour that I leave this eternity or leave this side of eternity and enter into that other, I plan on being a part of that great cloud of witnesses. There are some things that are hindering us. Even tonight in this service, there are hindrances that have withheld people from lifting their hands and worshiping freely, that have withheld people from singing the songs they used to sing, that have withheld people from really engaging in where the Spirit of God would have them tonight. Hindrances. I want to talk about some tonight. I want to talk about the hindrances and the weights that so easily beset us. A miserable Christian is a Christian who is attempting to make it on their own, in their own power, carrying their own issues while claiming they are letting Christ do the work in them. They will eventually become a miserable Christian. Tonight, my friend, we've got to let the Lord have the things that are going on in our lives. And the weights that bog us down and drive us away from that on fire experience that we should have are things that are not necessarily sins in and of themselves. But if we allow them to take root in our lives, they become such a hindrance that they drive us towards sinful things. Let's talk about some. Things like jealousy, fear, malice, hatred, embarrassment, loneliness. Some of these are sinful things, but others are just things that we allow to take root. I'm not good enough. I'm not as talented as somebody else. I can't sing like Brother Brad or Brother Philip. I can't play an instrument like Sister Tricia, so I'm not even going to try. I can't do what Brother Hurst wants us to do. I can't live up to that standard in my own power. Can I tell you, friend, those weights will bog down your Christian walk, and in this race, it will be a deterrent to your life. God has told us that we should come to Him. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Amen. God is wanting us to live under His burden of yoke. That burden is light. It is one that we carry because it's the banner of His presence. It's the banner of holiness. It's the banner of righteousness. It's the banner of praise to our God. The weight of pride. I'm not going to lift my hands because I don't want somebody to think I'm such and such. Men, can I tell you that nothing encourages a church faster than when men respond in worship? You see, we can get to the place where we allow our ladies to respond, and I appreciate the obedience that they have to the Lord. But men, it is our responsibility to lead our families into the things of God. And if we are not careful, we will allow the weight of pride to rob us from the blessing that God would give us. I'm not saying you have to do it exactly how another guy does it. But what I am saying is my pride will be a deterrent if I allow it to be. But if I lay it down and leave it there, I'll find quickly that that pride is simply something that would barricade me from the blessings of God in my life. My children need to see me worshiping. Our young people need to see us worshiping. Our families need to see us worshiping. They see men doing everything else in this world. But men of God, we've got to lay down the pride and pick up the praise. Hallelujah. Young people, this week at camp, pride is going to be an ever-present annoyance in your life. Because you're going to have to choose how to respond in worship. And it can be a very easy thing to say, you know, that must not be the Holy Spirit. That's just me. Can I tell you, the enemy in your flesh has never wanted you to do anything that will glorify God. That's a great litmus test. If you're going to be obedient to the Lord and it's going to bring Him glory and honor, I guarantee you it's not the devil. So just throw that lie out, right? Amen. Our hearts are weighed down with burdens. I was thinking about getting one of our young men. I appreciate Brother Oliver and Brother Stephen. This will be their first year going to camp. And I can remember what it felt like at 12 years old. Not a care in the world. Wasn't that a great day? Amen. Walk into the presence of God just like that. I mean, it literally felt like you walk into service and there He was. It reminds me of Camp Dove. And just that tenderness. But over the years, it's becoming a part of life that you add responsibility. You add maturity. You add things on you. I've seen so many times our people come in on a Wednesday night, and I know you've been working and things haven't been great and stuff's broke at the shop, and maybe young people, we failed a test because we were way too late at night and not studying. And so, you know, there's these burdens that we come in with. And so we come into the house of God and the Lord is moving and His Spirit is drawing. But instead of really getting in and engaging His Spirit, we begin to think about all of the things that are burdening our soul. That bill is due. This needs fixed. So and so sick. I've got to have this done. I've got to have that done. And we begin to get anxious. Burdened down. Can I tell you, the Lord would gladly take that off of you tonight so that you could have a fresh worship, a fresh time of prayer in His presence. So, I'm not saying that those things aren't a reality. I'm a father of three, and I've had a little girl get her eye poked with a coffee stir by her little brother today. I understand things not going well. Amen. Preston, if you're listening, you need to pray through. Praise the Lord. I get it. We face things. But when we come to this, do we remember what this room is actually called? It's called the sanctuary. It's not just a place of reverence because a God that we think was alive is now just giving us this room. No, it's a place where we can come and be at rest and be safe from the storm and dwell in His presence and know that He will take the burdens that we have and we'll leave them at the altar and leave them there and go our way and know He has met us in the sanctuary. Lastly, we're weighed down by sin. It's not a popular message. But one of the main reasons why, Brother Caleb, we have very little worship sometimes is because there's been a lot of sin going on. And it's real hard to worship freely when there's sin in our lives. You know, I used to hate Brother Quesada when we'd go to camp and they'd make a list. You know, because I'm like, I know what I'm doing, you know, just get me to the altar so I can pray. You know, I'm like, but can I tell you tonight, I don't have a list for us. Because the Holy Spirit's got enough in His capability and nature that when we enter into this place, He already knows. Pastor was preaching this morning, my heart was burdened. The reason we can't see the light oftentimes is because we've closed the shutters, as Pastor said, to our heart. Can I tell you, friend, that the fastest way to lose your walk or this race with the Lord is to allow sin into our lives? It'll trip you up instantly. It is a destructive force and a nature that if we allow it to grow, it'll take root and kill you as quick as possible. Sin in itself is destruction. And it feels fun in the very beginning, but it always brings about turmoil and chaos and pain. Have you ever been or even seen, you know, I think about the Olympics coming up and how that you can watch athletes, and I've watched them before, Sister Judy, you can tell immediately if something's wrong. No, you don't have to be a professional commentator to watch somebody that's running a race and all of a sudden they pull up limping or they're not keeping up with the track and you say, man, something's not right with that guy. It's not that different in the house of God. When we sin, our countenance changes and our worship changes. It's not hard to see. Something's happened in the life of somebody. They used to freely worship God and freely run the race and you knew that things were right between them and the Lord, but all of a sudden everything's different. And they're not trying to pick on you and they're not trying to judge you, but they see that something's not right. And so a brother or sister will come to you and say, what's going on? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. No, you're not fine because your countenance is different. That worship's gone. My friend, it's weighing you down. And it's all over your expression. Can I tell you this evening, I'd love it if somebody was honest enough to respond and say, Brother Brian, I'm weighed down because of sin. But I'm coming to the Savior tonight again because I don't want to be here anymore. I want to worship freely. I want my life to have liberty again. I want there to be joy in my spirit. I want to have an expression of worship that isn't a facade or a fake. I want to be real with my walk with God. You know what I love about Jesus? If you'll come to Him tonight and just pray an honest prayer, He'll take care of those weights instantly. Amen. You could leave this place with such a freedom. Amen. Such joy and peace that you maybe have never known. You might have been raised in this church your whole life. But for the first time you could say, this is what living is really like. Can I tell you, it's not too late. You got an opportunity to lay it down and leave it there. Say, Brother Brian, if I lay it down, I'll miss it. You won't really miss it if you get born again. I can testify to the fact that God has given me much more than He's ever asked me to lay down at the altar. Amen. Tonight is the night that you could get set free to where you could really run again. Amen. You don't have to leave here with that burden of sin anymore. It doesn't matter what it is. Amen. I want to say that again. It doesn't matter what the sin is. He told us in His Word that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen. He tells us in His Word that His grace is made perfect in our weakness. No matter what you've done tonight, the grace of God supersedes anything that you've ever done. The enemy would tell you, you're too far gone, you're not savable, you're not redeemable enough. But can I tell you, friend, He is a liar and the father of lies. He wants to set us free tonight from that sin that's weighing us down. Music, would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have a heart change tonight. I'll never forget, Brother Metzger, how messed up my heart was at 12 years old. I'm so thankful I had folks there praying with me. Help lead me straight to the Lord. That's why we do youth camp. Because you get an opportunity this week to have the Spirit of God as the focus for 5 days. But I've been on the other end now. This is my 7th year of directing Southern. I've seen young people and adults who I know were having a move of God and it was real. They weren't faking. But Brother David, somewhere between Southern and the next year, they were nowhere to be seen. Because they got their eyes off Jesus. And they started veering towards things that weighed them down. And I've prayed, Lord, bring them back for another opportunity. There have been young people in our church that I've prayed so much for that they would have one service where God's holiness would be made so real to them that their hearts would melt in the presence of God and they would remember who He was and who they could be in Him. I pray tonight that as we gather around the altar service, that all the distractions in the world would just cease for just a little bit, so that our young people could hear the voice of God again. And they maybe have been trying to drown Him out. Crank that music up a little bit louder. Turn the TV on when they go to bed at night. get all that place of noise in their lives so that they can avoid that moment of silence. But I believe that the voice of God is greater and stronger than anything that they've ever done to try and drown Him out. And even tonight in this service, His Spirit has been driving home that He wants to set them free, that He wants to forgive them of that sin, that He wants to set them free from the weight that's been dragging them down. And I believe in this service we're going to find that the same Spirit of God that saved you and I so many years ago is the same Spirit of God that wants to pick up somebody that's got lost on the way, amen, that's veered off course. He'd like to bring him back tonight. I'm so thankful He brought me back. In those moments when I was cold, He gave an opportunity, amen, to get on fire again. In those moments when I had sinned, He gave me an opportunity to make it right. In those moments when I was weary, He gave me strength. In those moments when I was discouraged, Sister Rhonda, He gave me joy. Hallelujah. In those moments when I needed a fresh touch, He was right there, right on time. There was nothing that I could do that He was not able to go above and beyond what I needed. I want us to stand tonight. You might not even be going to camp this week or planning on it. But we're not talking about camp right now. We're talking about right here, tonight, this service. Response is a choice. We choose to stand, Brother Hoffman, but we can also choose to say yes to the Spirit of God. The Lord has allowed us the liberty to say yes to Him tonight. Young lady, how long are you going to hold on to that heaviness? Heaviness of spirit and heart and mind. Those thoughts that are so hurtful to you, give it to the Lord tonight. Leave it there. Don't pick it back up again. Young man, how long are you going to try to do your own thing and still be left unsatisfied? Oh, just say yes to His Spirit and let Him write the story of your life. Sir, how long are you going to go on that touch that's been years ago? Won't you come to a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ? Ma'am, how low are you going to allow yourself to get emotionally and mentally and spiritually before you call out to the only one that's going to be able to refill everything you need, everything you're starving for? It's time to say yes to Him tonight. Amen. I told our young people, one of the things and goals that I have for us this week is that we get a fresh touch for ourselves. I love watching other people get blessed, and tonight I plan on watching people get blessed. But tonight, if you know you're going through something, you don't need to go find somebody else to pray with. You need to get to the altar and allow God to speak to your life in a fresh way so that you know you're good with Him. It's time to respond all across the house. Find a place to pray and allow the Spirit of God to speak to your life. Oh, He wants to refill. He wants to save. He wants to forgive. He wants to challenge. He wants to make new. He wants to baptize in the Holy Ghost. Oh, He wants to clear out our minds, clean up our hearts, help us go along the way. Oh, He loves you tonight. I said He loves you tonight. Call out to Him. He loves you tonight. I wouldn't wait another minute. I'd get a fresh touch right now. Oh, I can't wait another service. Tomorrow may not even come, young people. We need God tonight. Oh, I'm not banking on getting to Friday. Oh, He's here right now. He wants to revive our hearts again. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Lay it aside. Leave it there. You don't need it anymore. It's destroying your life.